as a member of God's church. As I sit among God's people, as I read materials that come from members of God's church who claim to have the desire only to do the will of God. As I see the confusion that surrounds many things and many issues, I have come to conclude that there is only one answer. To the issues that are taking place within God's family. And the one answer is the Word of God. There is nowhere else that we can look, and there is nowhere else we should look for answers to bring us into the unity which God desires us to have, that His purpose might be accomplished through us. This morning, I'm going to talk to you about some concerns that I have as a member of God's church. And we're going to look into the history of God's people as they went into the land of Canaan, to discover answers to these concerns. Seven lessons from Jericho for God's church today. Please turn in your Bibles to Joshua chapter 1, verses 7 and 8. Joshua 1, verses 7 and 8. Moses has passed away. The Lord is here speaking to Joshua. And the Lord says this: "Be strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success." Prosperity and success will come only through meditating in the Word of God. There is no other way. There is no other means of salvation. There is no other way by which we can get into God's kingdom, but in obedience to the Word of God. And the only way we can observe the Word of God is if we meditate in the Word of God to know what the Word of God says. For how can you do something which you do not know? You may think that you are actually doing God's will when you may be doing exactly the opposite, because you are not meditating and contemplating the Word of God. My desire is that God's church would prosper. Is it yours? My desire is that God's church would have great success. Is it yours? My desire is to see Jesus come very soon in the clouds of heaven. But in order for that to take place, you and I as God's children have a work to do in carrying the gospel to the world. Prosperity and success in doing that will only come through knowing the Word of God. We can develop plans, we can develop methods, we can develop a lot of things, but if we do not meditate, study, and know the Word of God, we will not prosper and we will not have success. The Lord wanted to make this very clear to Joshua because Joshua was a leader of God's people. Joshua was the one who was going to take them into the land of Canaan, was he not? He was the one whom God was going to use to guide their thoughts and actions. So God wanted to make this very clear to Joshua the moment he was called. The children of Israel cross the Jordan into the land of Canaan. They cross the Jordan, and the first city they see is the city of Jericho. In Joshua chapter 6, the Lord communicates not man's plan, but God's plan in taking that city. And we're going to find that God's plan is completely contrary to man's plan. Joshua 6, verses 1 to 5. Jericho was securely shut up because of the children of Israel. None went out and none came in. The Lord said to Joshua, "See, I have given Jericho into your hand, its king and the mighty men of valor. You shall march around the city, all you men of war. You shall go all around the city once. This you shall do 6 days. 7 priests shall bear 7 trumpets of ram's horns before the ark. But the 7th day you shall march around the city 7 times. The priests shall blow the trumpets. Then it shall come to pass, when they make a long blast with the ram's horn, and when you hear the sound of the trumpet, that all the people shall shout with a great shout. Then the wall of the city will fall down flat, and the people shall go up, every man straight before him." The Lord communicates his plan to one man. He doesn't communicate it to the congregation at large. He communicates it to one man. That one man is then to take God's plan to God's people, which Joshua does. The people could have reasoned like this once they heard that plan. They could have said that Joshua had lost his mind. They could have said that Joshua was out to lunch. They could have reasoned that these movements are ridiculous. They could have posed the following questions. How can the performance of marching daily around the walls of a city, blowing trumpets of ram's horns, have any effect upon these great fortifications? They could have reasoned like this. How can the simple act of blowing a blast on a trumpet, followed by a great shout, bring down the walls of a city? They could have reasoned like this. How can we, men of war, subject ourselves to such directions when they make no sense at all from a military point of view? Let me ask you two questions. Have you ever read of any general of a worldly army that conducted warfare as Joshua did? Have you ever read of one? I haven't. That's because God's way is not man's way. God's plan is different from man's plan. Does the history of nations present any such victory as the conquest of Jericho? I don't believe so. We are called to follow God's plan, not man's plan. Man's plan is not like God's plan unless man is subject to God. And any plan of man must be subject to the testimony of the Word of God. Because we follow God's plan. It is better to follow God's plan, which seems like absolute nonsense, than to follow man's plan, which seemingly makes sense. Let me say that again. It is better to follow God's plan, which seems like nonsense, than to follow man's plan, which seemingly makes sense. Any plan of man must be subject to the will of God and the testimony of the Word of God. And only then should God's people follow man's plan. 1 Corinthians 2, verses 1 to 5. Paul says this, "I, brethren, when I came to you, I did not come with excellence of speech or wisdom to declare to you the testimony of God, for I determined not to do anything among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. I was with you in weakness and fear and in much trembling, and my speech and my preaching were not with," what? "Persuasive words of human wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God." I don't want to hear flowery speech. I don't think God's servants are here to preach pleasant things. I think God's servants are called to preach the Word of God. That God's people's faith is not found in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. If we're preaching anything other than the Word of God, or teaching anything from another perspective other than the Word of God, or trying to implement something which is according to man's will, not according to God's will, then we are establishing our people's faith in the wisdom of men. It is only when we follow all the Word of God, living by every word of Scripture, and teaching and preaching the Word of God, that we establish the faith of our people in the power of God. And I will tell you this morning, I would much rather have my people's faith established in the power of God than the wisdom of men. Because the wisdom of men will be destroyed. And God will manifest Himself through the foolishness of what? Of preaching, which is contrary to human wisdom. The first lesson from Jericho is that we must follow God's plan. No matter how ridiculous it might seem, not man's plan, which might seem like it appears to be as God's plan. Second lesson from Jericho we find in Joshua chapter 6, verses 6 to 16 and verse 20. We're going to read through the story and then we're going to ask ourselves some questions. Joshua 6, verses 6 to 16 and then verse 20. Joshua the son of Nun called the priests, said to them, "Take up the Ark of the Covenant. Let seven priests bear seven trumpets of ram's horns before the ark of the Lord." He said to the people, "Proceed and march around the city. Let him who is armed advance before the ark of the Lord." So it was when Joshua had spoken to the people that the seven priests bearing the seven trumpets of ram's horns before the Lord advanced, blew the trumpets, and the ark of the covenant of the Lord followed them. The armed men went before the priests who blew the trumpets, and the rear guard came after the ark, while the priests continued blowing the trumpets. Now Joshua had commanded the people, saying, "You shall not shout or make any noise with your voice, nor shall any word proceed out of your mouth, until the day I say to you, shout, then you shall shout." He had the ark of the Lord circle the city, going around it once. Then they came into the camp and lodged in the camp. Joshua rose early in the morning. The priest took up the ark of the Lord. Verse 13, "And seven priests bearing seven trumpets of ram's horns before the ark of the Lord went on continually and blew with the trumpets. And the armed men went before them, but the rear guard came after the ark of the Lord while the priests continued blowing the trumpets. The second day they marched around the city once, returned to the camp." So they did 6 days. "Came to pass on the seventh day that they rose early, about the dawning of the day, marched around the city seven times in the same manner. On that day only they marched around the city seven times. Seventh time it was so, when the priest blew the trumpets, that Joshua said to the people, 'Shout, for the Lord has given you the city.'" And then in verse 20, "So the people shouted when the priest blew the trumpets. It happened when the people heard the sound of the trumpet, and the people shouted with a great shout, that the wall fell down flat, and the people went up into the city, every man straight before him, and they took the city." The second lesson that we must learn from this story is the lesson of sanctification. In 1 Corinthians 15, verse 31, Paul says, "I die daily." He says, "I die daily." Let me ask you a question. Were the children of Israel sanctified at the end of the first day? Yes. Did they do on that day everything that God required of them to do on that day? Yes. They were sanctified on that day. On the second day, were they sanctified? Yes. They did everything that God required of them on the second day. They were sanctified on that day. Were they sanctified the third to the sixth days? Yes. Were they sanctified the seventh day? Yes. We've come to think in our minds that sanctification is an event that takes place as long as one lives. And when we think of it that way, what we're thinking is it is a daily growth in grace that makes us more like Christ. Now that the Bible confirms, because it says in 2 Peter 3:18 that we should grow in grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But we must not view sanctification in a way that it is a daily growth that takes place today and continues right into eternity. Sanctification in its purest form, as the Bible portrays it, is a daily death to self and a daily living for Christ. And if I do that today, I'm sanctified. And it's that which I must do every day as long as my life lasts. Sanctification is the work of a lifetime, but it is a daily death to self and a daily living for Christ every day that I shall live as long as my life shall last. The third lesson which we must learn from the taking of Jericho is how character is formed. Notice that the children of Israel did the same thing every day, did they not? What they did on the first day, did they not repeat on the second? What they did at the second, did they not repeat on the third? What they did on day 1 to 3, did they not repeat day 4 to 6? What they did on day 7 in marching around 7 times, was it not that which they did in days 1 to 6 in marching around it once? How is character formed? Character is formed not through one act, but by the repetition of an act that establishes it as a habit. So if I, by nature, wish to do the will of God, then I must daily do what? Each day, I must be subjecting my will to the will of God. And as I do that, I form a what? A habit that confirms that I am God's child. Character is formed not through one act, but through the repetition of an act that establishes a habit. And if that habit, through a daily submission to the will of God, is of God, then the character that is portrayed will be the character of God. But if that habit that you establish based on what you do day by day is contrary to the will of God, then the character that you will display will be contrary to the will of God. Lesson number 4. Matthew 4, verse 4. Let's turn in your Bibles. We'll look at this text, Matthew 4, verse 4. Jesus here said, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by how many words? Every word that proceeds from the mouth of God." Again, let me ask you a few questions. What if they marched around the city in accordance with God's will day 1 to 6? Day 7, they marched around the city 7 times. But when the priest blew the trumpet, the people failed to shout. Would the walls of the city come down? No. You could say that the people shouting is just a minor detail. What's important is that they marched around the city once each day and 7 times on the same day, 7 times on the 7th day, but the shout is just a minor detail, not necessary. I will tell you this morning, from the testimony of what went on in Jericho that man must live by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God in order to prosper and have success and partake of the kingdom that God's preparing for us. That details are important. Every word of God is important. Man must live by every word of God. Lesson number 5. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Verses 12 and following. Talking about the body of Christ. The body is one and has many members. But all the members of that body being many are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body. Whether Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, have all been made to drink into one Spirit. For in fact the body is not one member but many. If the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? What's the answer? No. If the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where would be the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where would be the smelling? But now God has set the members. Who set them? God has set the members, each one of them in the body, just as He pleased. And if they were all one member, where would the body be? But now indeed there are many members, yet one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. Seven priests preceded the ark, did they not? Before the priests were the men of war. Behind the priests was certain individuals chosen by God to carry the ark of the covenant. Behind the ark of the covenant were men of war, and behind men of war were congregation. Did each individual have the same task? No. Some carried the ark, some marched. Some were designated as men of war. They had different tasks, but each individual had submitted their will to the will of God. I don't see a priest saying, I want to be a man of war. And I don't see a man of war saying, I want to carry the ark. And I don't see the one carrying the ark, because it's such a burden, say, I'd rather be walking with the congregation. I don't see interference in the appointed tasks of one by another. God has set the members in the body. Everyone has their appointed work given by God Himself, and none of us are to interfere with that work. The children of Israel were going through the wilderness. Do you know there was three individuals that turned the whole congregation against Moses? Korah, Dathan, and Abiram. Turned the whole church, all of the leaders and the people against Moses. Moses was the one who wanted to do what? The will of God. Moses was chosen by God. But the people came to him and said, you take too much on yourself. Are not all the congregation of the Lord holy? interference. And God destroyed those who tried to what? Interfere. Now we have to think about that. We have appointed positions in our church, do we not? We have appointed positions by church, and if the process is being followed as it should in harmony with the will of God, it is not we who appoint them, but it is God. And who are you or who am I to interfere and tell another what to do, when they should do it, and how to do it? Keep your nose in your own business. Because that's the only way God's church will prosper, is when each one does the task which God has appointed to them. That does not mean we cannot guide and help. But we are not here to play politics and games by which we try and make one look bad in order to make us look good. That's not God's work. That is the work of the devil. If God's church is to prosper, it will be because we are each doing our appointed task as given to us by God Himself, and we stop interfering with each other's task. Lesson number 6, Philippians chapter 2, verses 12 and 13. Philippians 2, 12 and 13. Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you both to will and to do for His good pleasure. Salvation is a process by which the human will is merged with the divine will. There is a cooperation by which God's purposes are worked out in our lives. What did the humans do in the destruction of Jericho? They marched around the city day by day, did they not? The priests had to blow the trumpet, did they not? The people had to shout at the proper time for the walls of the city to come down, did they not? What was the divine part? The Israelites did not gain the victory by their own power. There was nothing inherent in them to what? Gain victory. The Israelites did not gain the victory by their own strength. The Israelites did not gain the victory by their own skill. The men of war, do you think they were skilled? Of course they were skilled, but did they use it? They did not gain the victory by their own skill. No human hand touched the walls of that city. The walls of that city were brought down by God Himself. A cooperation of the human will with the will of the divine in order for God's purpose to be accomplished. I heard it said many times, God does everything. We just accept. I've heard it said on the other signs that we have to be obedient to every little thing which God commands, and we've already discussed that. Yes, we do. But is that obedience a result of my relationship with God, or is it something that I'm trying to attain by my own works? We need balance and harmony. We do not need our people saying God does everything, and we do not need our people saying man must do everything and work out his own salvation, but we need to understand that there is a cooperation between the human and the divine will in bringing about the purposes of God. Therefore, my will must be subject to God's will in order for God to work in and through me to accomplish his purpose in this life. I am not to try and do God's will without submitting my will to God. That is absolute foolishness. That is hypocrisy. There will be no success. There will be no prosperity. Prosperity and success comes when we subject our will through a daily devotional life with our Redeemer to the will of God. And then God can use us as instruments to carry out his purpose and his will and fulfill his promises. Lesson number 7. I want you to turn to Joshua chapter 6, verse 10. Very interesting. Joshua 6, verse 10. Do you know that the Lord conveyed something to Joshua when the Lord instructed Joshua that Joshua did not convey to the people? Do you know that? Joshua 6, verse 10. Joshua commanded the people, saying, "You shall not shout or make any noise with your voice, nor shall any word proceed out of your mouth until the day I say to you, shout. Then you shall shout." What did Joshua convey? They're not to open their mouth until, not the seventh day, which Joshua clearly understood because God communicated it to him, but he said, until what? The day I say to you, shout, then you shall shout. That means that the people were ignorant of the time of fulfillment of God's plan and purpose. They were just to continually, day by day, do as Joshua had commanded them, because God had commanded Joshua, and in faith, continue to do that until they were told to shout. We are to live a life in harmony with the will of God, but we do not know when God's promises will be what? Fulfilled. And I'm not talking about the promises which God gives us in terms of our salvation. I'm talking about time. There is so much going on within God's people today about the time when God will do this or when God will do that. That is not important. In principle, we should act and believe as if Jesus Christ were going to come when? Immediately. And although not knowing the time, we are to live by God's direction day by day. And not knowing the time, what does that establish in us and confirm in us? Faith. Do you know if we knew the time, we would have no faith? Have you thought about that? But not knowing the time, as we submit our will to the will of God and act upon his promises day by day, not knowing the time, we develop what? Faith. Children of Israel did not know the time in which they were to receive the promise, the fulfillment of the promise of God. As time went on, the promise of God remained unfulfilled. The children of Israel learned to develop faith. Because they did not know the exact time when God would act, they remained faithful day by day. If we knew the time, would we remain faithful day by day? Not knowing the time is what enabled them to develop faith and to remain faithful. It is of the utmost importance that we remember these 7 lessons from Jericho as we enter upon the last days of this earth's history as God's people. We must remember, number one, that success comes not through following the planned wisdom of men, but it comes through a submission to the planned wisdom of God. We must remember that sanctification is, yes, a growth in grace, but it is also a daily work, which is my work as long as my life shall last. I am to be sanctified today. I am to die daily. Die to self and live for Christ. I am to do it today. I am to do it tomorrow. I am to do it the next day and every day as long as I live. We must remember that character is formed not through one act, but through the repetition of an act that forms a habit. I want my habits to be confirmed in the will of God. Do you? Therefore, the acts and the things that I do day by day must be in submission to the will of God in order for my character to be confirmed as the character of God. Lesson number four, we must remember that we are to be obedient to every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. The details are important. We must remember that God has placed people in His church, that it is God who has given them their task. And you and I are not to interfere with the task which God has given to another person. We must remember that there is a union of the human will with the divine in order for God's purposes to be accomplished. God doesn't do everything. I don't do everything. But my will is subject to the will of God. And as I meditate and study in His Word, as in my devotional life, and pray to Him day by day, and my will is being submerged in His will. And His will be accomplished in my life. We must remember that God in His infinite wisdom leaves us without a knowledge of the time of fulfillment of His predictive prophecies. And He does that in order that we may establish faith in Him. Only as we remember and live according to these seven principles will God be able to perform His final saving act through His church. I would pray that our desire is to submit to the plan and will of God in our personal lives and in the life of His church. Joshua 1, 7 and 8 said what? Only as we meditate in the Word of God, in order that we may observe to do all that is written therein, can we make our way prosperous and can we have good success. I want God's church to prosper. I want God's people to prosper. I want God's church to have success and I want God's people to have success. Don't you? That prosperity and success comes only through submission to the will of God. Only through putting God's plan in place. May God help us to implement these seven principles into our personal lives, that His church might prosper and that we might soon see Jesus come. Amen.